Als we de Netflix top 10 moeten geloven, genieten we massaal van alles wat met misdaad te maken heeft. Ook in theaters en musea is het moorden, frauderen en roven wat de klok slaat. Misdaad en geweld. We vinden het heerlijk om te zien en erover te horen. En tegelijkertijd is het iets dat we in de echte wereld met man en macht bestrijden. In deze podcast vragen we de kunstenaars waarom zij zo gegrepen worden door de misdaad en vragen we de misdaadbestrijders hoe kunst hen kan helpen in hun werk. Wij zijn filmmaker Julius Ponte en theatermaker Sherilyn Adriaans en dit is Tussen Kunst en Misdaad. Welcome to a new episode. Today we have such a great guest from Sicily that we will do this one in English on location in the Photo Museum of The Hague. Our first guest is Paolo Facone, curator and of the exhibition Life, Love and That in Sicily by photographer Letizia Battaglia. Paolo, besides your work as a curator and your role as an advisor and founder of cultural projects, you've spoken at many international conferences and published about 20 books and exhibition catalogues, right?
Thank you. The first thing, I'm really thanks to be here with this fantastic group of people.
We are also really happy that you're here. So welcome.
And ready for this conversation between Sicily, Dutch reality, photography, art, love and dignity.
Wow, thank you. Great. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Paolo. And our other guest is Wim van der Pol, founder and editor-in-chief of Crimesite.nl. He focuses on organized crime and the government's response to it. He has published books on high-profile cases like Holleder in the Netherlands and reported on the Sicilian Mafia. Wim is a major voice in crime reporting and independent journalism. Welcome, Wim and Paolo.
Well, thank you.
In Sicily, the Mafia had a big impact. From the early 70s, Letizia Battaglia showed what everyday life was really like in and around Palermo. Letizia didn't just take photos. She captured what was going on during a really dark time in Italian history. People often compare her work to war photography, except her battlefield was her own city. She passed away in 2020, but Paolo Facone created an exhibition with her work. And what did her work mean in the battle against the mafia? Before we dive into that, let's hear from my lovely colleague Julius.
Yes, it's a great. We are here surrounded with the work of this fantastic artist. We dived in her life and in her work the last few weeks, and I was really overwhelmed by what a power woman she was. She not only made pictures, but she also created books. She was a publisher. She was a politician.
Yeah, activist.
She was an activist. She a feminist, a really strong woman in a patriarchal society where men were, you know, she was born in a world where a woman didn't get the chance like women get today. So I think she's a really strong voice. So I'm quite proud that we can do this one here. And it's also really impressive with this work hanging around.
Then you can see that we are inside of the museum.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah.
On location. Okay. Paolo, can you explain why you created this exhibition and how your connection started with Letizia Battaglia?
Well, with Letizia, the relationship was very, very strong, and we know each other from decades. I was a young, very young curator when I came back to Palermo to open my first space of contemporary art. Was in the historical center, in an aristocratical building, totally ruined, full of fascination, and then in the center of no place, we create the space. Letizia, when we opened the space, came there to know what's going on in this strange place, where these young people decided to make art, to make culture in a place that was at the time not allowed for everybody to be there. The historical center before the Leoluca Orlando period was a place a little bit, how you say, borderline. Now it's the beautiful historical center that everybody goes, enjoy, with full of bars, restaurants, and whatever.
But back then it wasn't.
At that time was a dark time.
Oh.
The historical center was the worst periphery of a terrible town. The first thing was to bring back in your hands the historical center as a metaphor. For this reason, the meaning that I wanted to open a space, a contemporary art space in the historical center was for this reason. Capture again our history, our tradition, mm-hmm. and at the same time to be contemporary. It was a very strange gallery because it was my house in one way, but we create a program, one artist, one day, and who was there can enjoy, who was not there, the possibility was just one spot. And we start this activity, inviting artists from different places. Mm-hmm. It was an office to create also something more established, to create something that now we can say have meanings. At that time, we were young, a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm. And was she taking photographs already? Because she started quite late in her life at 40. Was she already making photos at that time when you met her?
Yes, Letizia. When I met Letizia was at the beginning of 90. Letizia was already an established photographer.
Yeah.
And Letizia starts to photography, like you said, at almost 40.
Yeah.
And the beginning was a very important passage of her life because before she came from a very well family, but conservative. Mm. She was in this reality so close. And at 17, she married to escape from the house, familiar house.
Mm-hmm.
But in one way, she went from one cage to another cage because the marriage was not the reply to her sentences. Letizia brought the three beautiful ladies, two beautiful babies, but at a certain point she became a little bit depressed. But she was always attracted from culture. The dining room of Letizia, all the time when she was not a photographer, she was just a citizen, was always full of people of the world of the creativities, film directors, musicians. Nicola Sherino, the composer, did composition in her house. Stockhausen went there of different time. And like writers, film director, everybody, because Letizia was capturing energies, take together, and Franco, the husband, preparing spaghetti.
I love
that. Then, after this depression that at the beginning the people didn't understand very well, she had the opportunity to find a very good therapist, Francesco Corrao, that was a master in psychiatric. And after a training, Letizia took the courage to take her life in her hands. She split with her husband. She took two of the three babies and she went to Milan. She had at the time also a young boyfriend. And at the beginning, she arrived there without any work, without any money, because when she split, the husband didn't support or gave money to her in that time because she wanted to be free or she wanted to express herself, because it was very courageous at the time. Yeah. But before to left Palermo,
yeah.
She started a little collaboration with Laura, was the daily newspaper published in the afternoon. And Giornale Laura was topic for the town because it was the newspaper that was against the mafia, against the corruption, against the
mm-hmm.
kind of reality that we were living at the time. And we have here, for example, the first example is the first photo, the original one, that is the first shot of Letizia, because the newspaper tell to her, you have to go to this prostitute that was involved in this homicide, take an interview about her, find something also that capturing the meaning of the thing, and take a camera, for what? Take a picture, but never take a picture. Don't worry, click and take a picture.
Really?
And she shot the first picture. But she doesn't start to be a photographer at the time.
And that photo is in the exhibition?
Yes, the first
That's the first one.
At the beginning of it, at the entrance.
This is so nice, the beginning of the beginning.
And then when she was in Milan, mm-hmm. start to have a collaboration with Giornale Laura in the way Letizia, if happens something of the Sicilian, the famous Sicilian in the north of Italy, please report. Don't forget to make the photos because, you know, we sell better the article with the photo.
Yeah.
And Letizia start slowly to take picture. Because it was convenient in one way, but she was also captured from the reality of Milan because she was in Milan. And then in 1974, Giornale Laura said, please, Letizia, come back to Palermo. We need photographers. You will be responsible of department of photography. I will do a contract for you. A contract for me, fantastico, yes, I come. She collaborate from the 74 to 1992, she never received a contract.
No contract, but she, no I
contract.
Hope,
but
I hope
she was really the responsible of the department of photography.
Yeah.
They create with Franco Zecchini, that at the time became her companion, this young actor of 20 that she met in a Grotowski school, not a school, sorry, in a Grotowski, they met each other in Venice because Grotowski prepared there a course of theater where they participate both. Letizia was almost 40, Franco almost 20, Letizia took Franco, she said, now you are coming to Palermo, take a camera, and they become an incredible couple where they wrote part of the history of the photography of Italy and of not only of Sicily, because mm-hmm. Sicily was a metaphor also of Italy. And this adventure, of course, combine with the Second World War of the Mafia. They didn't know before that will happen in a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
And from one day to another, there were jump from one homicide, one bombs, one murder, mafia attack, etc., etc. And the reality start to be a little bit, They captured those images, they published those images. At the beginning was a work. Slowly they understand the power of those images because those images can create something to create an antagonism against this kind of reality that for at the time for us was a sort of normality, but we cannot to consider this kind of things normality when there is a abusing the dignity of the people, we have to fight to take again our values back.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for that. But can I, because then we are also more with you on your story. That 20 years later, so this was in the 70s, right?
From 74 for until 92.
Till 92.
See, she did this big work where she reported the mafia murders, and
what. So she was already famous, a huge person, a big photographer. And then in the 90s, you as a curator opened your exhibition or your space, and then she walked in, right?
Yeah.
But how do you?
Letizia was a really open person. She was super curious, and was at the end was natural when we did the first invitations to come to see our reality. She was one of the first that she came. Maybe, but was also because someone turned to her, come to see these things. Yes. I don't know how, but we met for the first time. Then after years. Yeah. I have a relationship with the daughter of Letizia. Then we become more deep in relationship.
Yeah. You became family.
We become family.
Yeah, yeah.
In one way, become family. And we were this strong relationship. And when we split with the daughter of Letizia, that is a great photographer too.
Yeah.
She was a winner of two World Press photos, very famous in Holland. Then we continued our relationship, and in the last 15 years, we were totally deep in a relationship that start every morning. I wake up very early. She wake up very early at 6:30 in the morning. Ring the telephone, Letizia, Paoluccio, and we started this conversation where we changed the world three times. And was amazing because she was smoking like no Jimmy. One in I never seen in my life. Coffee, cigarettes, and we start.
And Wim, you do the website Crime Site. Were you aware of the pictures in the 90s? I think you have a long history of journalism.
Yes, I knew some pictures, but I didn't connect the name to it. So I didn't know it was Letizia, but there was some picture very famous. For instance, the mafia boss who's being arrested, and and the girl with the ball.
Bagarella.
Because you run it's an important independent website you run a portal a platform crime site, but you have a career as well in journalism before you did many things. But why did you start Crime Site? When did you
it's more or less a coincidence. I was a research journalist, and I had a network, and I was in freelance, and I just drifted onto the organized crime because I had these connections, and then a friend of mine and I, we could take over crimesite.nl, and he said, well, why not take over Crimesite and make a nice journalistic one issue website about crime, which is didn't exist at the time, and well, we did it, and the rest is history. So but I'm really interested in crime. I've been interested in crime. So it is, in a way, it's a kind of a natural
natural habit.
And now I'm so into it, I can hardly say goodbye to it.
we have also to talk about criminality.
Yes.
And on the same time, what Letizia did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have pictures on the table.
There is an aspect that for me is very important.
Yes.
Because for me, Letizia is not only a photographer.
No.
It's a topic figure because Letizia broke a certain kind of walls. Letizia did of the emancipation.
I have a question about that. If I can.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. You mentioned that she, as it were, published these pictures and had this view of Sicily that people in Sicily in fact didn't see. Is that right, that she made it explicit what in her pictures what was happening every day in Sicily, but people really weren't aware of it in that way?
Happens one thing during the process that they shot the picture at the beginning. Maybe the newspaper took photos that were, you know, in the position of the newspaper, so a certain kind of size, mm-hmm. For a certain kind of things, but they were not the best of the production that they did. Slowly, analyzing the work, they recognize the strongness that they were behind. There were not only image that you can put in a newspaper and that's it. They discovered that it can be an instrument to put
an instrument
face.
Because it made people aware of shit is going on in our world. And
to put this image on the face of the people to create awareness of the reality. Yeah. I remember one very courageous thing that Letizia did. She did a lot of courageous things. Mm. We have to consider this from the beginning, but we will talk how she started to photograph murders. With Franco Zecchin, one day they decided to do a public exhibition. Very simple, very wild in one way. And they put a series of mafia photos in the center square of Corleone, at the time one of the most famous compound village where Totò Riina was born, Bernardo Provenzano was born, where there were the old mafiosi like Luciano Liggio that had been an important power. And to make this, there are interviews that Ray Channel did at the time where she said, yes, I'm fear to show these things, but we don't have other ways if you want to escape from this kind of reality, to create a way to destroy this culture. First of all, to give to the people how the reality is. Because maybe for a bourgeois, if they kill somebody in the street, they kill each other. They don't think that what there is behind. They take attention, especially also the government, they take attention about the mafia when they start to touch policemen, journalists, judges, and they want to fight against the government. That was at the time the evolution of Cosa Nostra, of the Corleonese, but was also the end of that period that was so full of blood. Totò Riina and Bernardo Provenzano at the time did the strategies in Sicily that was incredible strong. First of all, they wanted to control all the mafia families. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Palermo and the compound and the region is divided by territory. Every territory is owned from a family. A family has its own structure. In one way, mafia is also democratic because they have a sort of, they call the cupola, they don't recognize in the name of
council.
But it's a real council. No one mafioso can decide to kill someone, especially if he's another mafioso, especially touching a certain kind of interest without the permission of the commission. In one way was democratic, but in the other way, Totò Riina was a dictator and was a man totally unfaithful for everybody. This means that at the beginning they killed the enemy, but not they killed the enemy like they shot just the mafioso or the man or that they wanted to kill. They killed the mafioso, the brother, the cousin, the niece. There were families that they lost more than 10, 12, 30 members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That was the strategy. Also, people of the family that were not involved in the mafia, just because they were relatives, to create this fear,
terror.
This terror.
In fact,
the terroristic way to... But also, there was a point that was so paranoid that he started to kill also his killers, people that were served him to kill hundreds of people.
To be... To be free, they couldn't make statements
or because
against them.
Maybe that killers become a little bit more.
Maybe they could be a pentito or.
Now the point there was the phenomenon of the pentiti, the people that retorque, fortunately changed the strategies to capture these people, but.
But
was a strong process.
And Paolo, you just told Letizia was afraid, she was scared, but it didn't stop her to make those pictures because that's how she created awareness. But also maybe this was a way to stop things. Also, we can talk about it later. I'm also curious how that was for you, Wim, being this. Work in this scene, but we have four pictures in front of us. I don't know if we will discuss every picture, but every photo. And for the listener, we will put them on the screen, but also on Instagram, or we will so you can watch with us. Paolo, can you maybe pick one picture and describe it?
Yeah, I have one. Of course,
the first one was
captured Luca Bagarella. Luca Bagarella is a very important boss of the Cosa Nostra organization.
Yes.
Luca was captured. He was furious. He went against Letizia.
Yeah.
He split Letizia. He punched, but he captured with dignity. This, this expression of, I cannot to say, because it's a mix of
feelings, of
feelings.
Yes.
There is pain,
yeah.
There is frustration, there is furious.
Yeah.
There are many things in the same image. This image become also an iconic image in the battle against the mafia, because Bagarella is also part of that we call the aristocracy of the mafia. The big bosses where they married each other, family with other families, like they did the past, the aristocratical mm-hmm. families. Same.
They created the dynasties.
Yeah.
They create dynasties, they create alliance with weddings. They did the same that they did maybe
in the medieval area.
Yeah, or the royals. I mean, of course, in a different way. They would love to stay each other because there are values that they share together and they believe. For us, maybe it's craziness, but for them, it's religion.
Yeah.
And for the people who don't see this picture, or you're in the car or whatever, you see him with handcuffs on his arms. You see also a sleeve of a police man holding his hand, and he's really tense in his shoulders. And I think this is the
and
moment.
And he is angry. He's very angry.
He's totally angry.
Angry.
Yeah. It's furious. It's on the same. You can see also the fear. Eh?
Yeah.
It's a furious and fear.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a wild animal who's like taken to, custody or to
The frustration to be captured, as an animal to go. That is his destiny is in the jail. He's still in the jail.
And because this is this picture still, you know, because it's like, I think this is around 80 or 98, 99, or this is 80.
He was captured, then he escaped, then was captured again. Now because, they frozen.
Because we are now in Holland, in The Hague. You've shown these pictures in London as well, so you're traveling with this exhibition. What is the role of these pictures in Italy nowadays? Because it's
we start from exhibition that we did. Of course, in Italy, we did Palermo, we did Roma at the Maxi, we did Roma again at Terme di Caracalla, the Caracalla Baths, where we had more than 200,000 people as an audience for a photographic show. It's enormous. Because the people recognize the history of their land. And we wanted to put this photo always, because the people cannot to forget. To forget is to give again the opportunity to these people to take in the power again.
Mm-hmm.
The power, not the power only of the power of culture. Because the first thing that in Palermo we did at the time was to try to change the culture, like the experiment we mentioned before with Gianluca Orlando,
mm-hmm.
when there was this experiment where Letizia participated actively because she was part of the council. The pizza camp later, but at the time when they did the springtime of Palermo, Gianluca Orlando, Letizia Battaglia, all together, they changed the government of the city and they start a new vague for the town. And the first thing that they put in the political agenda was culture. For this, we start to open exhibition spaces, museums, etc., etc. Not because museum is something good for the tourist,
mm-hmm.
but because it was an instrument to create other stuff.
Yeah, because in what you can see here also in the exhibition, she was also publishing magazines or small books about culture and ecological stuff. She was also fighting for ecological rights and women's rights and
But for example, with Letizia, I always say that we don't have to talk of Letizia as a photographer.
No,
because we know many photographers that were so great.
Yeah.
We are talking about a lady in Palermo during that time that was so strong, mm-hmm. that was accepted in this society of men, and for this we have to thank Boris Giuliano, that was the head of the police of the flying squad,
mm-hmm.
that one day Letizia was in this sign where was killing someone, and all the journalists were allowed to go inside and they stopped Letizia. This happens one time, happened the second time, at the third time, Letizia, in the middle of the crime scene, he started screaming, he said, oh, basta, stop it. Arrived Boris Giuliano, he said, what's going on? Boris, all the time, they don't allow me to go in the crime scene, where the man, yes, me, no. He took all the colleague, Boris, and said, from this moment, who stopped Letizia Battaglia, talk with me. And she was allowed to do her job.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work. At the end, she had the dignity of the work.
Yeah.
And for this reason, I consider Boris Giuliano one of the first modern men of the city, a great policeman that we have. The photos of his dead, but in this exhibition and in the life, when he was killed by the mafia, the policeman, in according with the photographer, we decided don't shut any photos of the body.
Mm.
Don't give this present to the mafia.
Yeah.
And we have to remember Boris, a beautiful photo that Letizia did.
Mm-hmm.
There is the desk of Boris in his office,
yeah.
where there is a roses there, and you recognize all the elements of his life. The telephone, the Hoover, the radio, that also give us exact the period when these photos was shot. And this is a romantic homage for a great man.
These are such important stories. And I'm also curious, do you think also for you, Wim, how do you pass on your work? Do you know? Do you think about that?
About the danger?
No, not so. You write a lot. How do you? Do you have a student are there people who can continue
the legacy? I'm just a small piece of a larger thing. I would say I'm a journalist, and many journalists do stories. So I don't consider myself to be really exceptional, you know. I'm a journalist. I try to do my job well, and I mean, I'm not a special person, as Letizia was. In a way, she was a special person because she put herself on in a dangerous position and in a platform. I'm not in the same category, I think.
Yeah, but you're I don't think that's.
I don't agree.
I don't think that's because everything is here on Earth. Okay, that's very for something different. But the way you work and also the way you think about crime and is also maybe unique and.
The mainstream, you mean?
This is the language. This is my language problem.
I think there might be a difference in a way that I consider crime as something you will always have in a society, like you will always have the mafia in Sicily. But there is a difference. I would talk about that later. But you will always have crime in a society, and yes. What we have now in Holland, I think that people of the law and order type think they can eradicate all the crime from this society. Mm. It's not possible, and they pretend it is possible, but it isn't. And that's what I want to. Explain in my pieces that you have the underworld and you have the legal world, and people pretend that these are two separate worlds, but that's not true. Because the mafia can thrive, the mafia can grow because it has a connection with the legal world. If there wasn't a legal world where the tentacles of the mafia were profiting, you wouldn't have the growth and the crime on the scale it grows into, you know. So it is a symbiotic relationship, the legal world and the underworld.
I totally agree with your word.
And it is not something separate. And I want to about the position of Letizia Battaglia and a journalist in the Netherlands. There is a really a big difference between the period the 70s to the 90s in Sicily and the scene we live here in the Netherlands. Sometimes I hear politicians say, we have to copy the Italian practice of policing and of putting these guys away in very secluded prisons. But it is a totally different thing. Italy is very different from the Netherlands. And these years, 70s, 90s in Sicily, they were so perverted in a way. The mafia was inside the grassroots and inside the threads of society. We don't have that, and we had never had that in Holland. So if you want to do something about the mafia in Sicily, you have to really do much more than we will need to do here in Holland. So the position of a journalist is also different here in the Netherlands.
Is it sometimes dangerous for you? Are you?
Oh yes, dangerous. But you're not. Sometimes people are not really
happy
with what you publish. Yeah, but it is a different thing from. My position is different from the position that Letizia Battaglia had, because she. It was a different society. The mafia was much more powerful than the mafia here in Holland will ever be. And she had a feeling, I think, that I cannot do otherwise. This is my country, and I have to do something about that. And the reason she took that position, I think, was because it was so bad. And if you look at these pictures, I think my picture would be, this is Falcone, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because this is a very Falcone is a very
so for the listener, this is another picture.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you describe it a little bit?
We see the Mr. Falcone was a judge, right?
Was a judge.
Yeah. And
he's at the funeral of Carlo Alberto dalla Chiesa, the general that was sent to Italy, to destroy the mafia, but after 100 days was killed.
But this was in 82, I think, this picture.
Yeah.
And I think this picture is very important because his death, in a way, was the turning point in Italy. Because after this, his colleague as well, I forget the name.
Paolo Borsellino.
Borsellino and Falcone were killed in 92. And that was the moment the Italian society on a national level said enough is enough. And then they started to change the society in a way that was necessary. And we discussed Leo Luca Orlando, the mayor of Palermo. I interviewed him once, and he's a very impressive guy. But this guy never said there is only law and order. And no, he was a very... a guy looking for details in the things you could do. For instance, the Addio Pizzo. He said, what is important is the awareness of the people, but also the law and order, but also transparency in the public service. And, you know, there is no one-way solution of this problem. And I think that is the big deal that was... that changed in Italy after the death of Borsellino and Falcone.
I have to say one thing that I think is important, because Letizia shot a reality. And maybe now this reality is not still the same in Sicily, but of course mafia is not dead. What happens in the last 20, 30 years is to this growth of different mafias around the world. From criminality, they become like the Sicilian families, where they do business together, they do a lot of business. And we have to consider, like you said before, that all the amount of money that they create through drugs, through the affairs, then they clean up this money to create or to buy or to take enormous legal companies. There was a Saviano that maybe you know, this important journalist. There was an interview a few days ago where he said that 70% of the restaurants and bars in Rome are
laundering.
They're paying laundries for them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Laundries that they're doing also money. So we are changing the economy, where this economy that we said black economy is start to become the real economy. That is the problem today. Yeah. It's not only gangs that they kill each other. This is the surface.
Yeah.
The reality is like one time Letizia said during an interview, and they ask, how you take a picture now of the mafia today.
Yeah.
He said, maybe I go to the stock market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because where are the money of the mafiosi?
Yeah, in the banks.
Where are?
In the banks.
Because we never found all that amount of money.
Yeah.
And those money are part of something now today.
Yeah,
we have to follow the money.
Yeah, yeah. Follow but still, money. on the other hand, this money is invested, and the legal world is profiting from this money because it's in Amsterdam Zuidas, it's invested in New York, it's invested in the stock market in Milano, by way of the Emirates, for instance, or you know. Then that is exactly the point. You can follow the money, but then you have to take the money, and the money is in the upper world. Yeah. The money is in the legal system.
We have here in one photos of Cesare Terranova. Cesare Terranova was a topic figure in the battle against the mafia because with the Pilar Torre was one of the first that the intuition, if you wanted to do a real war against the mafia, you have to follow the money. For this intuition, he was killed immediately, but was also the inspiration for Giovanni Falcone, Paolo Borsellino, the anti-mafia pool, that they cannot to follow only the men or the criminal. They have to follow the money because there are many levels of the mafia.
But
maybe we know the soldiers. Maybe we have in the exhibition people who were dead as a soldier of the mafia. But there are other levels. We have to remember historically, the big mafioso of Corleone was the doctor of the village, not the last one, you know, the doctor. So this interrelationship, the strong relationship with the mafia and masonry, the Secret Service.
The Christian Democratic Party.
The Christian Democrat, with the part of the Christian Democratic Party. We have here Vito Ciancimino, the mayor of Palermo, that was part of the Corleone organization when he was captured. Of course, that transformed societies. In fact, one question was in Palermo, how we can create a new economy, a post-mafioso economy. Because that economy surrounded also the welfare. They took the position of the government because mafia was welfare at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the families, when someone is in the jail, they pay the families, the relatives, they support. It's an organization really.
So it's difficult to.
And what
we're very well organized.
Yes.
And how would you describe the difference between Palermo then in the 80s, 90s, the atmosphere in the streets among your family on the streets? Is it because I can imagine with so much blood on the streets, people are, I don't know, scared, afraid, maybe. Are people living a more relieved life with less?
It's totally changed the situation in Palermo. If you are going there, it's a really lovable place to stay.
I'm a tourist.
Change completely the perception of the city. These 5 or 6 mandate of Luca Orlando in different time. This experiment was the springtime of Palermo, then the renaissance of Palermo through culture, etc., etc. The idea that we invited many people from all the world, the artists, blah, 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 we changed the perception of the city. And also the city saw the difference. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's better our way to see the city and not that way to leave the city. And now you can stay in Palermo really in a safe, beautiful.
No, but it's not for me as a tourist.
Also for us.
Also for you.
Also for us. Yeah. But that kind of organization is gone.
Yeah.
Now the mafias are strong in Calabria, that you know
very
well.
The mafia is also still in
Andrangheta now took the position of the Sicilian mafia of the 80s and the 90s. The Andrangheta that doesn't have a pentiti. The Andrangheta has a structure that is a tentacular and spread all over the world. Do you remember the Duisburg killing where they killed how many? 11 people in Germany.
Mm-hmm. But the difference between the way the Andrangheta operates right now and the way then Cosa Nostra operated was that Andrangheta is inside the international cocaine trade and is connected with all the world. And Cosa Nostra never had that position. They made money
at the beginning, at the beginning, because when the mafia had the monopoly of the raffinery of heroin during the 80s. Yeah. That were the moment that they spread a lot. When arrived cocaine, changed also the core business the mafias, because changed totally reference points.
Can I ask one last question? Because we are this good conversation is almost till the end, but we are here in this exhibition. It came from London also, right?
Yeah.
So it stood also over there. Can you tell us a little bit about the impact of the exhibition? Did you hear people talk about it, or what did it do?
I don't know. I'm the curator, but all the time they're talking very well about my shows.
Of course. This is your
moment. The reality that the people come and all the time they will be astonished about the show. All the shows that we do from London, the audience was international, people that they know culture and photography and dramas, etc. Every time is an experience for the audience to come in our shows, because as you see, it's also installed in a different way. It's an exhibition where we cut chronologies, we cut thematics, we put everything all together, like still of a long film, but this film was the real life of Letizia Battaglia. Yeah. And we wanted to report this. Also, the section behind the forest is a way to go inside there and to have a relationship with the photos. Like Letizia said, doesn't have a photographic technique. She was teaching by the street, but he had one characteristic, saying you have to take a picture at the distance of a punch or a caress to repeat in the center of the scene. You have the courage to stay there. And then, but capturing the images with dignity, because also the worst mafioso is a human being have to be treated with dignity. Maybe they don't have, but we don't have to be the same of them.
Wow. Is that also because this exhibition is in The Hague? I told you already it's in the Fotomuseum in Den Haag, The Hague. what is the part of the exhibition you are most proud of? I can do that.
No,
I can do
impossible. It's a piece unique for me. There is no a beginning, not an end. It's just an expression of a polyphony of sensational moment, dramatic, smiling, with soul, with fears, with sadness. Part of the life,
and there is also a sequence. So it starts.
It starts with the poetry, and we end with poetry, because in the middle there are the reality that's very strong, but it's also a message. We start with the beautiful photos that Letizia took in the psychiatric hospital. That she was really involved in the psychiatric hospital. We have to say one thing: Letizia, she was photographer, publisher, editor, film director. She was a politician. She did a lot of things that we cannot frame to be just a photographer. And we wanted to finish with the poetry, with this image of Olympia 2020, the last photos that Letizia did in a series, that is this mom on the beach with Anna, her baby, on top of the belly, totally naked, waiting Theodora, the other son. And this a sort of, something positive.
Yeah.
The life.
Yes.
To give a chance.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Wim and Paolo, for this beautiful conversation. You can visit the exhibition Letizia Battaglia, Life, Love and That in Sicily at Fotomuseum in The Hague until August 2026. Mocht jij, luisteraar, dit een interessante aflevering vinden, like de podcast, abonneer en deel het met anderen. Tussen Kunst en Misdaad wordt je aangeboden door Riek Amsterdam Amsteland, gemaakt in samenwerking met Julius Ponte, Insja Klinkenberg, Theatergezelschap Wat We Doen, de podcast-teler en mijzelf, Sherilyn Adriaans. Heel graag tot de volgende Tussen Kunst en Misdaad.